And who does it need to be made? Alfredo, Selby, and Tito.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Glad to have you all in our presence today in our assembly where we're trying to worship God in spirit and truth as His holy word we call the Bible directs us to. I want to welcome everybody that might be listening to our radio program. You're always an encouragement to us. We know that there are several listening in actually different countries, so we're encouraged by that. And if you ever have any questions about our worship, we'd be happy to, or if you have any spiritual questions or spiritual needs, please reach out to us here at the church building, and we'll be happy to try to help you any way we can. Phone number is 618-252-7154. Let's see, by way of announcements, we've got our prayer list. Seems to not get lower, so we've got our prayer list. Naomi Simmons and Dustin Jackson. They're on our prayer list, but the good news is they're here with us today, so it's great to see them. That's 2 weeks in a row, so God's helping us, right? That's great. So, continue to pray for Ken and Sandy White. Ken is with us today. Sandy is in a nursing home. We want to pray for her health and her ability to recover. And Ken, as he tries to, go to this next chapter of life. Pearl Hyatt, that's my aunt. She's in the nursing home over here at Axiom Healthcare. The final update, as far as I know, the final update is that she should be home on Friday, this Friday. So we're hoping that we'll get to see her again very soon. She's missing us all quite a lot. And she really appreciates, there's been many of you that have went by to visit with her, and really appreciate that. I know it's encouraging to her, and hopefully it's encouraging to you, because Pearl's easy to visit with. All you gotta do is say hello, Pearl, and she'll take over from there. So if you've been to visit her, you already know that. So Sue Clark, her right arm is giving her a lot of difficulty and pain, so we want to pray for Sue. We haven't seen her for quite a while. And Josh Blair, those tests that he had led to some difficult diagnosis. So we want to pray for Josh for some effective treatment and for some spiritual and physical strength as he endures that. We want to ask for the prayers for the family as well. Let's see. Oh, this is from Georgia. It's an update on her her nephew-in-law, HL's nephew, Doug Spiceland. He finished his first round of chemo. The cancer has shrunk almost 50%. He's gained a few pounds. The surgeon wants him to take a second round of chemo, then he will do the surgery. So prayers are working, is what she says, and ask us to please continue to pray for Doug. So we will pray for Doug, yes, and that's an encouraging. It's encouraging when we hear good news about difficult things. Our shut-ins, we got Rose Beatty, Catherine Wright, my mother Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie Keene. They're all homebound, so we want to pray for our homebound and that they might be able to come back very soon. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries there, Odell Williams on October 28th, Melissa Porter on the 1st of November, Ken White on November 1st, and the White anniversary. Ken pulled that off to where they got married on his birthday, so he never forgot their anniversary. So it's a coup de grace, or whatever you call it, on that deal. So good deal on that. So how many years will it be, Ken?
62.
Wow. What a fantastic thing. What a fantastic thing. So you guys got married when you was about 10? I thought it was something like that. Okay, good deal. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the way it worked. Okay, got some visitors here with us, and I may have missed some and some not, maybe. So I see we got the craft crew. I'm just going to call you all the craft crew, our brothers and sisters from Tennessee that do hunting while they're up here. They have guided hunts, so we're thankful that they're here with us. We've got John Crank, who mows for us here at the building. If you like how the lawn is trimmed here, got John to thank for that, so we appreciate him today. We got the Goins family here from Dahlgren, so glad to have them with us. They run the Little Egypt Christian Youth Camp. If you've been to that camp, you either they're under their guidance or before them, his father, Jasper. So we're glad to have you in our attendance today as well. Let's see, order of worship today. Everything is according to the bulletin there. With the exception of, let's see, David Hutchcraft. Okay, he's got the scripture reading, David. And then closing prayer, Breyer says he's not quite up to it today, so Howard Kraft is going to have our closing prayer. If you don't mind, while you've got your attention, if you have a cell phone with you, please silence your cell phone as we begin our worship, okay? Thank you so much.
As David said, I want to wish everybody a good morning. Glad we're all here. This is a good place to be in the, on Sunday morning. Let's start with number 495. Number 495. Oh, the depths and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. Their death for my sins by the Savior was paid, His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full.
Promises. Let's do number 627, and then after this song, we'll have our minds led in prayer. Number 627.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory and way. Telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land.
Father in heaven, we again are so thankful for our opportunity to come together and worship you in this house. Father, we're thankful for all that are here with us today. Father, there are many, however, that are not feeling their best, that are unable to attend. Father, we pray that you will look over them, help them to heal, and bring them back to us so that we can be with them again. Father, there are conflicts in the world that just don't seem to ever go away. We pray that you will help the world to find peace and the leaders to be able to get along. Father, there are so many people with those needs. Look over them. Help the politicians to come up with solutions to be able to live in peace. Father, be with our preacher today as he brings us your word. Help us to understand. Help us to go out into the community and spread that word. Look over us as we try. Many times we don't make that effort when we have the opportunities. Father, as we go through this service today, be with us all. Help us to learn and to get out there and spread the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would turn over to number 784, this will be the song before we take the Lord's Supper. This will help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. Number 784.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to He loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved me so. He
We are gathered here today for several reasons. One of them is to study another course under God's will. Another is to listen to the scriptures and understand them, and more understand them. And the most important thing is the Lord's Supper that we're about to partake right now. That is mainly why we're here, is to take of the Lord's Supper. And I want us to understand why we take it. Is because of the simple fact that Christ went to the cross for each and every one of us that's here. He went also for the whole entire world. And what I want to read from Corinthians in chapter 11, in verse 28 it says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup." Now, you're going to ask yourself, why do I need to examine myself? We need to examine ourselves to find out if we're worthy to even take of these emblems. Now, are we? When we are doing it in the right way. And this is also to examine ourselves so we think back on the cross of where he went to die for us. He went there to die for us. Otherwise, we would have no hope. And he also knows that we are forgetful and we need to remind it. So he left these emblems for us to remind us every week that he died for us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you before you now as your humble servants. We are indeed thankful, Father, that you went to that cross and you stayed there and hung there in such agony and pain that most of us could not endure to even think about. We're just so glad that you went there and you left these emblems for us to continue to remind us that we have hope through you and only through you. This bread that we're about to take represents that body that hung on that tree. We pray that each and every one here that takes this morning takes it well and pleases in thy sight. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray. They can probably take this cup, let our minds go back to the day that you was on that cross and you shed your blood for us. Father, it's not something you had to do, it's something you was willing to do. And through that blood, we have remission of our sins. And I just pray that we're all mindful of that and mindful of what you went through. Heavenly Father, be with us as we take this cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes the Lord's Supper, but as we're gathered here conveniently, we're going to take up an offering to continue the work here at Harrisburg. Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful for the blessings you've given us. We're thankful for our jobs, our lives that without you would be insignificant. We just pray, Father, that you continue to help us and guide us. We just have so many things to be thankful for, Father. With you being our God and Christ being our leader. This is such a wonderful thing. We want to ask you at this time to bless each and every one of us. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
would, please mark number 23 in your songbook. This will be the song of encouragement, the invitation song after Brother Barry's lesson. Number 23. And then the rest of the services will have another song, and then the scripture reading, then the preaching, then the invitation song, and the closing prayer. And David, Brother David, wanted me to mention, he forgot to mention the potluck after services today. So if you're hungry or whatever, didn't bring food, come to potluck. There's always plenty of food, and you're welcome to the potluck. So, okay, after you've marked number 23, the bonus song for today, we usually don't have one, is I heard it on TV this morning, and it was a good song. Number 824, we'll sing this song before the scripture reading. Here's a little guy that goes to church in the evening where we go, and this, he's 5 years old, and this is his favorite song. Number 824.
Some glad morning when this life is over,
scripture reading be Hebrews chapter 10 verses 35 through 39. That can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1068. And the Bible reads, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul.
Thanks, brother. Good morning. It's
good to have you here today with us. It's a blessing for all of us to be together, to share God's word, and to rejoice in him. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 13, which is our text today, Jesus is sending out his 12 apostles for the first time. You know, when they've heard that first message that you 12 are going to go out two by two and you're going to share the good news with everybody. Can't you imagine? They've been following Jesus all this time and listening to him, and now Jesus is saying, you're going to go. And so as he tells them what they're going to do in this text, we want to see that Jesus trusted them and he trusts us with his gospel. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. So he wants us to go and preach to everyone. And that you, he says that go you, that means that's plural there, to go into all the world. So as we begin our lesson this morning in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, Jesus' commands was very specific to these 12 apostles. He said, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. We need specific directions when we're going to do something, and we're going to learn those directions as we begin to do more and more in outreach. But here the apostles had to have specific directions. Well, what do we do, Lord? What do we say? And they said, well, they gave them specific directions. Don't go to the Gentiles now. This is just for the Jews. And also, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And Jesus basically considered the Israelites lost sheep because they had not been following his word and following his way, just kind of on their own. And now he wanted to give them specific directions on this is what he wanted them to do. You know, it helps to know where we should go and what we should do. And we know that Jesus, before he ascended to the right hand of God, he told them to go into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And so Jesus gave the apostles at that time, after his resurrection, very specific directions on where he wanted them to go and what he wanted them to do. He told them also what to teach. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Well, I think every one of us could do that, can't we? To say the kingdom of God is near, we could say it now. The kingdom of God is here, right? We could go about and preach the message. We know that the message wasn't difficult for them to go and do this. And Jesus was trying to make it as easy as he could because he knew they were kind of green. Do you ever feel kind of green when you want to share the message of God? Like, what do I do? How do I say it? And so on. Well, God is going to show us how to do that. The message for them was not difficult. It was specific to preach the kingdom of heaven. That means that the kingdom of heaven is near. It's coming. Jesus talked about that he was going to establish his church and his kingdom upon the earth. And everybody could understand that message. It's understandable. Today, sometimes people think that I can't understand the Bible. I don't know what it says. I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But when we really get down and begin to just read it and study it, we can see that the message of God is understandable. God wrote it for us to know about him and to understand about him. God shows us the way in which to go. Well, how do you get attention? Well, sometimes people today in our world try all kinds of things to get attention. Let's see what Jesus said. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Well, Jesus, we know, of course, had the power himself to do these things. And now he was giving the 12 this limited ability to go and do the very same things. Do you think these things would have gotten the attention of the people? Well, they were getting the attention of people as far as Jesus was concerned, weren't they? I mean, the people were amazed at what Jesus did, healing the sick, casting out demons, and even sometimes raising the dead. And so we know that the people began to really listen to Jesus, not only because of what he said, but because of what he did. They were to be generous in what they did. They were to be generous and care for people. That's the main thing. Of course, we know the two greatest commands, love the Lord your God, and the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. We are to be a people of love and go about loving people and doing good to all men. and we're to love without reservation. Sometimes as a person, as a people, as a human being, we'll say, well, that person's easier to love than that person. I've had people say to me, well, I know my friends would never listen to the gospel of God. And we would always say to them, tell them. Well, I remember one young man who was dating one time, one of the young girls that I was working with in a youth group, and she kind of said those same things to me. And he was really a very worldly guy. But he started coming, he started listening, and within a year, he had become a Christian. So we have to trust God. We have to trust the message of God and what God is saying to us and teaching us so that we can know what God wants for everybody. That everybody has the right. Everybody wants to be, God wants everybody to become a child of God. Well, how do you go to finance your outreach? You finance it, to start with anyway, by faith. Verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunics, or sandals, or staff, for the worker is worth his keep. You know, again, let's think about those disciples for a minute before we go into this anymore here. But Lord, we've got to have something to eat. You don't want us to take more than just one set of clothes along? I could hear him say, no, you can wash yours in the river, right? Or whatever it might have been. Just take what you have on and go. Well, he wanted, sometimes you just don't know how you're going to get the outreach done. You don't know how you're going to do it. Let's go back to what we said just a minute ago. It starts with love. We go out and talk to people about the love of Jesus Christ and how God loves them and what place that God has for them. We have to trust that what God tells us to do, he's going to give us a way to do it and a way to go about what God is calling us to be. We're not trusting ourselves. That's not the solution. That's, as human beings, as Americans, we want to solve our own problems and do it our own way. Am I true? Is that right? You know, I find that to be quite true for most people, is that we want to be self-sufficient. Isn't that the American way? To be self-sufficient? But God is saying to us to trust him. Trust God. In reading out of the Psalms and Proverbs and the prophets this week, one of the things that's jumped out to me was that in one of the books that I've been reading in the Old Testament, it talked about God is the God of hosts. It said Jehovah of hosts, which is God. And I knew I'd read that many times, but it just kind of struck me. So I started looking it up. And it meant, really, in the Hebrew language, it means that God is all-powerful and is God of the armies of man. Remember many times how God rescued the people of Israel? Do you realize that when the people of Israel came out of the Promised Land and they finally went into the Promised Land after 40 years of wandering, that just at Ai, the second city where they went to conquer, they didn't trust God completely. But after that, there's no indication that the Israelite men and the people in the army had one loss. Not one soldier died. That's amazing, because they fought many, many battles. The God of hosts was with them. Even one time, Joshua, the leader, said, we can't get this done, God. How are we going to do this? The day's going to run out. And God said, okay, I'll make the sun stand still. The sun stood still and did not move until the battle was won. How great is our God? Our God is great and powerful and capable. We need to trust in God to be our provider. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we try to do it by sight about what we see and what we can do, we're going to fall short. But our God is able. And we need to trust him by faith that he can do what he says he's going to do. The time is very important for us to do this. Now, in verse 11 and following, he says, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. we need to take time for the interested. You know, there's going to be people in our world today that really want to find a better way for their life. They want to find out about God. They want to find out about Jesus. Now, right now, there's people that may not even know they need to be looking for God. But they're looking for something. Let's help them find God. Because they're looking for that. There's going to be people that are there. There's a time for people to be interested. I know you're here, right? Are you interested in God? And so we're glad you're here. But he says you need to move on when people don't care. And again, unfortunately, there are going to be people in our world that don't care about God. Don't want to hear anything about it. The Bible says that the darkness has shut them off from God. And so we need to let them go if they will not. But we need to keep loving them anyway, because something might happen in their life that they need to be recognized, that they need to come back to God. We need to be wise. In verse 16, he says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. The world is really good at marketing. You know, we need to use their wisdom sometimes because they've had some good ideas. However, we need to use only their ways that are honest before God. Because there's a lot of things that the world does that are not honest, that are not right before God. But there's a lot of things we can learn and out in our world today too, and go from that. Do things in a godly way. For example, our sign out front. There's nothing in the Bible that says you should have or should not have a sign. But people have shown us that it's good to have a sign so people know where to go, what to do, and so on, right? And so that they can come here and meet with us today. So we need to do things in a godly way, in a way that proves that we want to do everything that we can. Paul says, I become all things to all men, so that what? By all possible means, I might save some. God wants us to be out in the world. Now go in the world, but in the world, but not of the world. Well, what should I say when I do go then? It says in verse 17 and following, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you are to say or how you're to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Christians in the U.S. today have not yet been put on trial for their faith as such. Not like they were in the first century, second century, third century. We've had no flog. Has anybody here been flogged? My parents might have spanked me once or twice. But I don't think you'd consider that flogging, would you? No, that's biblical, to parents to discipline their children. But he said, flogging because of your faith, you know. But it will be challenged about our faith. Because there's people in our world today that challenge our faith because they don't believe it. They don't like what they're hearing. They don't like what's being said. And so they will challenge your faith. But that's okay, because you can know if you stand on the Word of God and stand in Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, that you can know what to say and how to say it, because you've read the Word and you know what it says and you know how to stand up to those who would challenge you. God's Spirit can still guide us into all understanding. That's what Jesus said He gave the Spirit to the apostles for. And now we have the Bible and the Word of God to guide us and understanding much more than they did. They just had little. They had maybe one or two or three books at a time in the first century until they were added to the whole New Testament by the end of the first century. And so, but today we can know by turning to the words of God what we can say. We must fill ourselves with our souls with the Word of God. This is something we must do as Christians, because you see, it's so important, and we must ask ourselves every day, am I doing this? Am I reading the Word of God? Am I studying the Word of God? Am I pouring it into my heart, into my life? Because I want to know what God wants for me. Don't you want to know what God wants for you? Then we can be prepared to give an answer for what we believe. And that's important. That doesn't mean we have to have all the answers. I don't think anybody has all the answers. Even someone that might have memorized the whole New Testament. Because we still need to go back and say, this is what God says. This is not what I'm saying. Therefore, we need to be like Jesus. Verse 24. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a student to be like his teacher, and the servant is like his master. I want to teach like Jesus taught. That doesn't mean I'm at his level. I don't think any of us would say that I am perfectly like Jesus. But we want to strive to be like him. I want to be like he teaches. I want to love with courage and boldness and love like Jesus did. Can we all say that? You don't have to say it out loud now. I'm not saying this. We're going to chant this, okay? But I want you to be able to think, yes, I want to teach and I want to live like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus. I want to have the courage like Jesus. I want to have the boldness like Jesus. I want to serve like Jesus served. Remember when they were washing Jesus was washing his feet, Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash me. And Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you know, you have no place with me. And Peter says, well, wash my head and everything. And Jesus says, no, you don't get it. See, Jesus came to serve and not be served. We need to be people of a servant heart that meet and care for people and reach out to their needs. Jesus wants us to be great, giving and loving servants to all. That's what he wants for us. You see, when we're serving others, it means we're loving them. It means we're teaching them and we're caring about them because that's what people need. They need the good news of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we do not need to be afraid. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of God, will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your heads are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. As a kid, I never thought much about sparrows. I mean, thought much about them because they're not particularly pretty. They don't have a particularly great singing voice, as some birds do. But to God, sparrows are valuable, are important. He says, and yet you are more valuable than many sparrows, many birds, a flock. You know, you're much more important. God knows us completely, inside and out. Now, sometimes we think we're hiding things when we don't talk to God about our needs. Sometimes we don't get the message across because we're afraid because we think that God cannot know us. But God knows us inside out in every way. God loves us totally. God sent his own begotten Son to this world, right? Because he loved us. Because he cares for us. He wants us to be a part with him. And Jesus died for us to show us his love. No greater love has anyone, Jesus said, than someone lay down his life for his friend. You see, we need to lay down our lives for others. Not necessarily. If it comes to that, yes, die as a Christian. But that means that we give ourselves completely and wholly to other people because they need to know it. Godhead, therefore, will always take care of us. I mean God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will take care of us. Because we know that when we're baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, that God also promises to give us the Holy Spirit to live within us. This is God for us. He does this totally. We have this completely. God has given us his directions for our lives so that we can live like he knows is best for us. Now, I know. You say, well, I know how to live what's best for me. Do you? Really? Do you have all the answers for your life and all the answers for everything? Can you turn to yourself and say, yes, I know that. I have that answer. I have that solution. But we can turn to God for strength, for comfort, for everything else that we need in this world. We can know because God knows what's best for us because he knows us inside out. He knows every part of us. So how are you going to live? What is best for you in your life? What's your way? Or is it God's way? I believe that you know and understand that it's for God to follow him and have God's way for you. So won't you come to him tonight, this morning, as together we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed.
But to congregations all through the United States, and that's at HarrisburgChurchOfChrist.com. Let's remember the ones that David had in his announcements this morning, the ones that are shut in, the sick, the ones that are on our prayer list. It's good to see Naoma and Dustin here this morning. Let's remember services tonight at 5 o'clock, and the lesson tonight is meeting needs is the lesson that Doug has. And also, before Brother Howard leads us in prayer, let's remember that David invited everybody to the potluck. If I've left anybody out, is there any announcements that need to be made? If not, we'll leave it to Brother Craig.
Let us pray. Our kind and heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day, the privilege we have to come and worship Thee. We pray, Father, that we will be bold with and have the courage with love to go share Your message to all the world. Help us, Lord, as Your people to be the light in this world because it is dark. And we know, Father, that there are those who are searching for the truth, and help us as Your people be the ones to teach them and not allow the denominational world to shove them off into false doctrine. Help us to be good students of your word. We're thankful for each and every member here. Thank you for Doug and the work he's doing. Continue to bless the church here, Father, and all that they do, and help us to always love your word and be good students. Forgive us when we fail thee. We pray that you'll bless the sick. We pray, Father, that they'll look to you for strength and guidance. We're thankful for the hope we have in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Pass it off.